Excuse me if I'm a little distracted today. I'm not used to preaching in Whoville, so this is a new experience. It looks great, though. I'm excited about tonight. Be sure and come back tonight for our church Christmas party. The kids have a play they're going to put on and some songs they're going to sing, and I know there's going to be lots of good food here, so be sure and come back for that. It's going to be a good time. On a personal note, I just want to thank the church for this past week and the loss of my granddad for all the food and the lantern you guys gave and the prayers and the calls and the texts and Facebook messages, and for those who even made the long trip to Mason, West Virginia for the service. I just appreciate all the love and support for our family. And, you know, my granddad was a Christian, and he's home now. And we take comfort in that, even though we're going to miss him. But appreciate that and appreciate your continued prayers. Well, 2 weeks ago, we started a sermon series called Lessons from Carols. And we've been looking at some of the most popular Christmas carols and determining what lessons we might learn about the history of the songs and the words of the songs. We talked about Silent Night. The only reason Silent Night was ever written is because the church organ was broken and the normal Christmas songs couldn't be used. We learned that out of brokenness, God often reveals his beauty. We also learned that Silent Night is a song about silence and peace. And if Jesus can bring peace and silence into the circumstances surrounding his own birth, then he can certainly bring peace and silence into our struggles. Last week we talked about the song, O Holy Night. We have some power there? All right. I like to move around a little bit. That could be good. So last week we talked about the song, O Holy Night, and we learned that it's a song that when it was written, a lot of people wanted to ban it. And it was almost lost to history when the people at the church learned that it was written by an atheist. But it was snuck out of town and eventually spread all over the world. And the song, O Holy Night, reminds us about the gifts we received on that holy night Jesus was born. It reminds us of the gift of baby Jesus, the gift of a Savior, the gift of service in the most humble way. And it also reminds us of the gift to go home. At Christmas, we all long for home. And because of Jesus, we have the gift to go home for eternity. Today, we're going to talk about the song, The 12 Days of Christmas. Now, The 12 Days of Christmas has been the subject of a lot of parody. You can dream up any version of this song, and you've probably heard it. Jeff Foxworthy does a version. The Muppets do a version. There's all kinds of versions of The 12 Days of Christmas. A lot of jokes surrounding this song. And it also has a disputed history. You can find a lot of stories about how this song came about. But one story says that the song was written sometime in England between the years 1558 and 1829. It was written after the kingdom outlawed Catholicism and other religions. And the story is that the words to the 12 Days of Christmas is actually a code, a mnemonic device to be taught to children so that they would remember the principles of Christianity, even though the government had banned a lot of it. Of course, if they were heard talking about these principles, they could be imprisoned or, worse yet, executed. So it was important that the song was taught in code so that it would be remembered. Each aspect of the song is meant to be a symbol for something about Christ. The true love referred to in this song is, in fact, Christ himself. There are many stories about how this song came to be, but it's important for us to always remember and reaffirm and celebrate our belief in Jesus Christ. Do you guys ever memorize things? You ever memorize stuff? We do it a lot, don't we? I know every episode of Seinfeld from beginning to end. If you give me a snippet of a line, I can tell you all about that particular episode. And that is really useful in today's world, isn't it? I'm not a lot of fun to watch the Christmas Vacation movie with because I like to recite the lines before they happen, and it aggravates Fundy and Austin to death. But I know that movie, and that has been useful too. We create mnemonic devices to remember things, which I never understood why the word mnemonic has to be so hard to remember how to spell it. But anyway, that's a lesson for another day. Back when Pluto was still a planet, it wasn't a planet for a while, I think it might be again, but do you guys remember the mnemonic device we learned to know the planets of the solar system? My very educated mother just served us 9 pizzas. M, Mars, V, Venus, E for Earth. Actually, the first M was for Mercury. The second M's for Mars, J for Jupiter, S for Saturn, U for Uranus, N for Neptune, and P for Pluto. If you want to remember the Great Lakes, you remember the word homes. Huron, Ontario, Michigan, Erie, Superior. We come up with devices to remember all sorts of things, right? In school, some things useful, some things not. Remembering Scripture is important. My grandma always stressed how important it was to memorize Scripture. She said that when she was growing up, it was taught to her to memorize the Bible because you never knew when our country could be overtaken and maybe the Bibles would be banned. And that's something she grew up worried about. She knew most of the Bible by heart. But in our technological age, we've become lax in memorizing Scripture, and I'm probably one of the worst. It's always on my iPad. It's always on my phone, right? We can access it. But we shouldn't just want to memorize Scripture or remember Scripture in case our Bibles are banned. We should want to memorize Scripture and know Scripture so that it's on the front of our minds and deep in our hearts so that it comes to mind and we're constantly remembering what God wants us to know. Deuteronomy 11:18 says, "Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads." Psalm 119:9-11. People that work in the Good News Club, we know this verse well. We have a song to it. I'm not going to sing the song, but the verse goes like this. "How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." It's harder to read that and not sing it. Right, Ruth? The 12 days of Christmas remind us about Jesus. On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me, what? A partridge and a pear tree. This was code or a symbol to remember Jesus on the cross. John 10:14-15 reminds us, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Jesus laid down his life for us. May we never forget that. This song highlights the importance of us remembering what Jesus did for us. He knows us. He loves us. He died for us. He arose for us. He was born to serve us. And he was born to die on that cross for our sins. Just as he says, he laid down his life for his sheep. That, church, is the greatest demonstration of love there's ever been. That's perfect love. And it's certainly worthy of remembering. On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 2 turtle doves. This represents sacrifice. It's the code for sacrifice. Luke chapter 2, verses 22-24. "When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or 2 young pigeons." Sacrifice is important. In the Old Testament, people sacrificed animals to atone for their sins. But today, because of that baby born in that and placed in that manger, we no longer sacrifice animals to atone for our sins. Jesus is the sacrifice. Hebrews 10:10 tells us, "And by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Praise God for that. Praise God for that. Certainly worthy of remembering. Day 3, on the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 3 French hens. This represents what Jared read for us, the gift of the wise men. Matthew 2:11, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We don't know when the wise men came, just like we don't know the day Jesus was born, right? Probably wasn't December 25th, we know that much. But we celebrate his birth. We don't know when the wise men came. We don't know how many wise men there were. But we do know there are three gifts referenced. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me four calling birds. This was code so that the four Gospels wouldn't be forgotten. John chapter 20, verse 31. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Could you imagine if none of us here would have ever been able to read the four Gospels? How much is in there? How much we know, how much determines what we do and how we live and how we know about Jesus. The Gospels are important, and we never want to forget them. On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me five golden rings, right? That's always held out. This represents the five books of the law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 34:12, Moses says, assemble the people, men, women, and children, and the foreigners residing in your towns, so they can listen and learn to fear the Lord your God and follow carefully all the words of his law. This is important, church, not to be forgotten. We need reminded. On the sixth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me six geese a-laying. Not laying, a-laying. This represents remembering the code to remember the 6 days of creation. Day one was light, day and night. Day two, the sky and the sea. Day three, land and vegetation. Day four, sun, moon, and stars. Day five, the creatures of the sea and the birds of the air. Day six, the animals of the land and man. Of course, we know on the seventh day, God rested. We take for granted we can know these things, but we want to have them on our hearts and in our minds. Important to remember what God has revealed to us. On the seventh day of Christmas, my true love gave to me seven swans a-swimming. This represents the code to remember the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are written about in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is to giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. God wants us to use our gifts. We never want to be found not using our gifts. He gives them to us for a reason. He gives them to us to bless others, to make a difference, and to lead others to him. It's important to remember that. On the eighth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 8 maids a-milking. This represents the Beatitudes found in Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 10. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If I could just remember that every single day, think how easier my life would be. It's important. On the ninth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me, what is it, Tina? 9 ladies dancing. This represents the gifts, the fruits of the Holy Spirit we read about in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. It's important to remember the fruits of God's Spirit. We've preached sermon series on those. We've taught classes on those throughout the years because it's so important to live out those fruits, to live out God's fruits. They're not our fruits, but God gives them to us to live. And fruit grows. You don't just get an orange. It grows. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes work. Never want to forget about the fruits of the Spirit. We always want to have the desire to grow those. The 10th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 10 lords a-leaping. This represents, would anybody have a guess on this one? Oh, okay. The 10 commandments. We read about them in Exodus chapter 20. You shall have no other gods but me. You shall not make for yourself any idol, nor bow down to it or worship it. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. You shall remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Respect your father and mother. You must not commit murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not give false evidence against your neighbor. You must not be envious of your neighbor's goods. You shall not be envious of his house, nor his wife, nor anything else that belongs to your neighbor. The Ten Commandments, definitely important. The 11th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 11 pipers piping. This represents the code for the children who learned this song to remember the stories about the 11 faithful disciples. Of course, we know there were 12, but Judas betrayed Jesus. The song wants the hearers to remember the faithfulness of the 11. They weren't perfect. They messed up. They said things they shouldn't. They did things they shouldn't. They stumbled. But ultimately, they remained steadfast. Even to the bitter, painful end of their lives. If you read about the history, you know that some were crucified for believing in Jesus. Others were pierced with swords or stabbed with spears. One was clubbed to death. Another burned. Only John is said to have died of natural causes. Church, you don't suffer a life and a death like that for something you made up. It's real. They experienced it. We never want to forget their testimony and what we read in Scripture about their lives. They give us examples to follow in our walk. And on the 12th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 12 drummers drumming. This is a reminder of how we're saved, church. This is the end of the song. It's the climax. Once you get to this point, the song is complete. And we're reminded that only through Jesus can we have eternal life. John 14, 6, Jesus tells us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This morning, is your life complete? Are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ? Have you been baptized into Him to have your sins washed away, to receive His Holy Spirit? You know, it's important for us to remember what Jesus did for us. But we forget sometimes. This world has its impact. We go through troubles and all kinds of trials. And Satan works on us, and sometimes we forget. These Christmas songs we've talked about this Christmas season, they're not inspired works, but they are tied in some way to Scripture that helps us remember. We all know the 12 days of Christmas. I didn't know the story behind the song. But we want to always be ready to memorize Scripture, to know what God's Word says, to teach our children and grandchildren to know what God's Word says. Because when we put it in our hearts, we're going to live it in our lives. It's going to make a difference for us. It's going to make a difference for those who don't know Jesus. You know, God never asked us for perfection. He only asked for our hearts. He asked for our lives. And He wants to save us. If you're not a Christian, make today the day you decide you want to live for eternity. Make today the day you decide you're tired of walking this road alone and you want to walk with a Savior who loves you, a God who created you, a God who made a way to get you back to Him forever. Make this the day you make that decision. If there's any way we can help you today, we want you to come now as we stand and sing.